And if you don't mind, could I get your first and last name?
Joey Jernis.
Okay. Joey, and what did you do during World War II?
Well, I took basic training, a shortened style because of the expedience of the thing, and I was a tank gunner the whole war. Sherman tank, M4.
Did you volunteer or did you enlist? Or were you drafted? I'm sorry.
I was drafted.
What year were you drafted?
Well, it was in 42, the fall of 42.
What was your reaction when you found out you were drafted?
I expected it.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was just prime material.
You just got out of school by then, or?
Well, no, I had started farming with my dad at that time, and I don't know of anything else that was really pressing at that time. I was just a single man and nothing to do other than help my dad farm. And
where were you farming?
South of Chelsea in Wesley Township.
Oh, okay. How big of a farm was that?
Well, at that time it probably was about 4 or 5 quarters, something like that. I can't remember exactly.
And that was here in South Dakota, correct?
That was in Fall County.
Oh, Fall County. Okay.
East edge of Fall County.
And then you went through a quick basic training.
Yeah, they cut it, I think, at 14 weeks, and they cut it to 7. Because there was maneuvers. I was sent to Camp Polk, and they were on maneuvers at the time, and next thing we knew, I was sitting out in the pup, sharing a pup tent with somebody I never knew. And very shortly after that, we were sent to the Desert Training Center in California because that was the war was in Africa at the time with the tank war.
When you shipped overseas, did you go to Africa then?
No, we trained there. And then, it was in fall of the year, we were shipped to Fort Benning, Georgia. An awful change from 120 degrees in the desert to a bunch of hot weather and storms and lightning and wet weather in Georgia. That was quite a climate change for a person. Other than that, we trained there for some time. Done a little anti-aircraft shooting, and that was about it. Later on, we shipped to Camp Shanks, Maine. And then we were sent to another little camp just outside of New York. And on the 6th day of June, the day of the invasion, we started loading the Queen Mary to make a trip to, went to Glasgow, Scotland. And from there, we went to Tidworth Barracks and trained there some. And by the time, I think it was the 8th of August, we went to Omaha Beach. And after from Omaha Beach, well, that was quite an experience there. We went off the ramp of the LSP landing and come up off the shoreline, and there was a whole cornfield of white crosses. Boy, did that make you think a little bit. There wasn't all of them running around loose anymore. And there we attacked the town of Chartres in the middle of the night. And a bunch of greenhorns. Nobody knew what was going on, so we backed out of there rather rapidly and did it again the next day. So we did get the town captured. It wasn't much of a fight, but there I know there was some. I didn't get into much of it except a lot of air bursts, and I didn't even know what they were. It was just a puff of smoke in the air, but it turned out there's a lot of shrapnel coming down off of that. But in a tank, that didn't hurt us. So that's about it.
What was it like being in a tank during some of those battles?
Well, I having a 105, I wouldn't be the leading tank in any case. At least I didn't think they were, anyway. And there's one of those tanks attached to each line company, which A, B, and C had a 105. And later on, headquarters company had three of them. So the 31st Tank Battalion hierarchy decided that they would take the three line company tanks and the three out of headquarters and make a six-gun platoon to use as more or less close-up artillery. That's about it.
How long were you over in Europe then?
Well, I was there clear until December of... it was 45, wasn't it, when they got over?
Yeah, I believe so.
But I stayed with the 7th Armor till it dissolved. We was in I can't say the name of the town, Breckendorf or something like that. The Russians took over that town under the agreements that the three main people, the English and the Russians. So the Russians took over, and I was on furlough in Nice, France, when this all happened, a 15-day furlough. And immediately they sent me back to Nice, France, as an occupational. I watched prisoners load booze off of warehouses and take it around to the different places of business where they retailed it for the vacationing soldiers.
Were the prisoners, were they Germans or Russians?
They were both Germans, and they had, one of them had been at the Russian front, and he had pretty tough time over there, but he survived it there, and as far as I know, he was looking good when I left him.
were the German prisoners that you had to watch, were they pretty hard to get along with, or were they pretty easygoing?
They were easygoing. They were just regular people off the street like anybody else in the American Army. I think that's, you know, they were drafted and such. They were old men. They were, compared to my age, they probably were 10 years older.
So you were over in Europe for that time, mostly over in France, is that correct?
France and Belgium and Holland. I was, when the combat time, we more or less led a certain area across Europe. And we were up in Holland, I think it was, when they called us back to the Bulge on the 16th of December. And we were attached to the British Army during the time we was in Holland and Belgium under Montgomery. And let me see what happened after that. After the Bulge was over with, we got the proof. We was the ones that they kicked out of the Bulge area. We were the final division that had any strength, and we lost a terrible amount, but we were the one that was trying to hold it. We held it 4 days, and the 31st Tank Battalion, which I belonged to, got a presidential citation for that. And we laid low and then went and recaptured the place in January. And then they headed us north, and... our recon battalion were the first people of the American forces to meet the Russian forces in east of Lubeck. It was quite a bit east of Lubeck, but I can't remember the town. And I can't remember the... He was just a colonel or a major, a lieutenant colonel maybe he was, when he led this group of 40 to meet the Russians. He drove miles into their German territory, actually capturing some of the different parts of the German army. The German army was disrupted terribly there. The civilians between the German army, I mean, between the Russian and the American army, the civilians were hidden for the Americans because they were all afraid of the Russians. So they just, if you'd stop, they'd just clamor around their tanks and everything else. And they would, what, how, they was praising this. They think that was a wonderful thing that we got them. But it was, there was acres upon acres of people digging holes in the ground just to the civilians to survive in a hole in the ground.
Is there any particular memory during your time overseas that really stands out to you?
Well, one of the first things that I also already mentioned was that on the crosses that were sitting there after the D-Day deal. Well, I was quite impressed with a lot of the people that were happy that we were there. They were real happy. Even the Frenchmen were real happy that we showed up.
I'm kind of baffled, but I can say a couple of words.
Okay, just one moment, okay, sir?
No, I got something I got to get a phone for.
Oh, okay, sounds good.
That's about all I got, I guess.
Okay.
One incident, Patton was a very tough general for a tank outfit. He was a tanker from where to go. And we knew we were held up at a certain place. And the company commander that left with us to go to Europe, he told him he wanted to take this particular spot, and we knew it was zeroed in with 88, and he says, take it anyway. Well, he led the crew. Well, he never made it. He got on a bridge, and they knocked it out, and he killed the captain, and they got this. He was a good captain, and a company commander, I should say. And it was shortly after that that they decided to put the 105s all together. And I didn't think much of that deal. They should have tried to arrange a different way of taking that particular crossing, other than put a tank right out there and as a dead duck. That kind of didn't sit well with me.
And that was Patton's decision.
That was Patton's decision. That's what I understood.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's always a word of mouth. Nothing is sure in the military.
Okay, do you remember what it was like when he came home after serving overseas?
I just came home. My folks come up to meet me at the train. I was the only one on the train. And I went home. Nothing except to my little sister. Had really grown while I was in the military. It takes three years. She went from a little baby fritter to a grown woman, but it just seemed that way. But she did. She grew so much that I could hardly recognize her.
Was your family glad to see you then?
Oh yeah. I stuck around, and I never got married till I was 35 years old. After that, I said, I don't know. I was kind of a little bit. I had a lot of problems in my head a little bit, too, you know. Just things didn't kind of sit well, a lot of things, but I kind of tried to keep it to myself.
Okay. Do you have anything else?
No, that'll be good enough.